departure from what you used to be for me, because you used to be skinning your hide, but I want to help you this morning. I want to give you something.
Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another. Stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another. Stacked them stones for you and me. For the children to see.
I'll not want. He makes me to lie down green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you this morning for the word of God. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for the sweet psalm that you laid on David's heart, right, Father? Lord, I don't know how old he was when he wrote it, but Lord, I know he knew something about being a shepherd. It was his occupation. And he sat and meditated on how good you were to him. And you, Holy Ghost of God, led him to write down these words. I'm thankful to that this morning that we have these words. I'm thankful that the Word of God paints such a beautiful picture of our walk through this life with you. Father, I pray this morning you'd allow me to, Lord, to go beyond the limits of human tongue and human thought. Somehow begin to speak, Lord, the just undescribable riches of a relationship with the Lord. I pray you'd open our understanding, Lord. Let us escape our everyday routine, mundane reality that we live in. And Lord, may we worship thee in spirit and in truth. May we, Lord, focus the eyes of our soul upon the heavenly. Lord, realize just what a precious, precious friend we have in thee. Lord, I just ask you to forgive me, Father. Forgive me, Lord, because I know that I don't appreciate every moment of every day with thee the way I should. Lord, I just ask your forgiveness. Lord, I feel so weak sometimes, and I need you every step of the way. Lord, I'm thankful that you've shown me that weakness and my need for thee. Father, I know that it's for your strength that I'm made strong. I know that it's your guiding hand that has led me safely through this life. Father, I just praise you this morning. I just want to give you the glory that you deserve. Lord, I pray you'd help. Holy Ghost of God, fill me and give me unction this morning to preach the Word of God as only you can. And I give you all the glory and all the praise for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The 23rd Psalm, I just want to say to you before I begin preaching on this, is a very powerful, powerful Psalm. Song of David, a very powerful song. It has so much depth to it, it's unbelievable. But it's sandwiched right in between, of course, the 22nd and the 24th Psalm. And if you understand the 22nd Psalm, the 22nd Psalm is a prophetic psalm. It is a psalm that describes the cross of Calvary. David, living so much time before Christ, described through the, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost so many things about the crucifixion of Jesus. I don't have time to go through all those things, but I can tell you that he talks about how he's able to. He said, "I may tell all my bones." He was able to look down and see his bones staring at him through his flesh. He talked about how the he said in verse 14. He said, "I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. Heart is like wax." He said in verse 15, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Brought me into the dust of death." And in verse 16 says, "The dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." David's hands and feet were not pierced, but Christ were. Amen. He said, verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That was done at the foot of the cross. They sold Jesus' garment. This is a messianic psalm. It is the psalm of the cross. And then in verse 24, you see in the psalm, after the psalm 23, the Bible, it is a psalm which talks about Jesus ascending back into heaven. And I'll just read to you two or three verses here. Verse 7, 8, and 9 says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gate, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Amen. And that psalm, so sandwiched in between the crucifixion psalm and in between the resurrected Christ psalm, we find the shepherd psalm. And this is a picture of the Christian life. It is a picture of the narrow way that we're preaching on. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We talked about how the gate is straight. There's only one way that one can get to heaven, and that is through Jesus. He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is no way man can do himself. There's no way we can become moral enough, or we have no righteousness of our own. There's only one way, and that's through Christ. Straight is the gate. Amen. I preached on repentance a few weeks ago, how a man, in order to be saved, in order to be born again, the Holy Ghost of God must reveal to a man his sin before God. It's not sin before man. We're all sinners. We are born in sin. God has to reveal to a man that he is the enemy of God, that he has sinned against God. And that God cannot, absolutely cannot, a righteous and pure and a holy God cannot accept sin. So sin has got to be paid for, and Christ paid the debt. And when a man saw how wrong and how wicked he is before God, only the Holy Ghost revealed that. When a man sees that for himself, he in abhor of himself, in seeing himself the way God sees him, is driven then by the Holy Ghost of God to the cross of Calvary. It's the faith that God has given him, and the Bible says that as God hath given to every man the measure of faith, every man has faith. He put some put it in themselves, others put it in Buddha, others put it in Allah, others put it in many, many things. Every man has faith. We have faith, we turn on the light switch, the light's going to come on. When we turn the faucet on, the water will come out. We have faith. You go to a restaurant, I've said this a lot of times, you go to a restaurant and order a meal, you got a lot of faith, because you don't know the cook. You don't know what kind of day he's having either, amen? But we talked about that repentance. We talked about all that. And beyond that straight gate of repentance and faith, is a narrow way. It's not against this Joel Osteen feel good whatever way you want it. It's not this Burger King stuff. This have your way. It's a straight, it's a narrow way that one must walk with the shepherd. Leads us to this message. You pray for me. I got a lot to cover. I'm going to do it quickly. So I want you to listen good, and that way we get through this thing. Number one, the Lord is my shepherd. He's not everyone's shepherd. Amen. Only those, again, who put their faith in Him. The Bible tells us in Psalm 95:7, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Amen. He calls us sheep. He likened us to sheep. And I'll tell you some things about sheep that we need to pay attention to. Number one, sheep are stupid animals. Sheep get themselves hurt. Sheep don't have a whole lot of sense of direction. Amen. Sheep make bad choices. Amen. You hardly ever find sheep without either a shepherd or a fence. Sheep will get killed in a hurry. Sheep are very stupid. Matter of fact, I've heard it said that if you have a herd of sheep and they get in a cliff, if one jumps off, they'll all jump off. Amen? The Lord had it. He really had it when He called a sheep. Amen? How many times have we seen young people especially follow their friends right down to the road to destruction? Sheep. Stupid. Not only that, stubborn. Stubborn and hard-headed. We're going to do it our way and just nearly refuse to listen to anybody else. Amen? We need a shepherd. Amen? And not only that, sheep are dirty. Amen? Within that wool, under that wool, deep inside there I've seen video. I've never been next to a sheep getting shorn, but I've seen video of sheep getting shorn. I'm going to tell you, they got to wash that wool real good because it's nasty. Stupid, stubborn, hard-hitting, dirty. That just sounds like us. That sounds like human beings. And we always get hurt. We always get in the trouble if we're left on our own. But thank God He didn't leave us to wander on our own. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Matthew 9:36, the Bible says, but when He saw the multitudes, that being Jesus, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Amen. Thankfully, He's a compassionate Lord. Amen. Isaiah 53:6, one of the great passages in the Bible, He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on Him, that being Christ, the iniquity of us all. He paid for our sin on Calvary. He died and His blood was shed because God requires blood sacrifice. Sin. He laid all our sin on Jesus, and Jesus paid for our sin. That's God's way. Man doesn't like it because he's hard-headed and stubborn, but that's God's way. John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I love the shepherd. I love the shepherd because he died for me. And He gave me everlasting life. It's mine because of Him, because of me, because of a thing I've done, but because of Him. Number two, the Bible says, I shall not want. I shall not want. That doesn't mean I won't want something. It ain't saying I ain't going to have no desires. It's saying I'm going to do without. I'll not be in want. Psalm 34:9, the Bible says, O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. You say, preacher, you saying you ain't never had anything to do without anything? Not things that were absolutely essential, no. Boy, you must have lived a privileged life. I'm going to tell you, God has blessed me, and I've had a fairly good life, yes. But I've been, said, I've been through a lot of hardships, but you know what? Even in the middle of those hardships, God still provided for me. You know what? No one ever want for protection. That's what a shepherd does. He protects his sheep. He's my shepherd. Amen. I'm lost, amen. You know why? Because the shepherd keeps me, that's why. Amen. I can't keep myself, that's for sure. I can't do for myself what Jesus does for me. You know why? I'm a dumb sheep, that's why. Amen. But you know what? He keeps me, and the Bible says, God has promised me that he will never fail me. He's perfect in all his ways. He's never made the first mistake. God never had an old moment. I said it before, I'll say it again. If God were to say, or oops, the entire material universe would disappear in the thin air. Because if he did make a mistake, or he did have a goof, or he did have an oops, he would fail to be perfect and fail to be God. God doesn't ever make a mistake. God doesn't ever slip up. God doesn't ever go off on vacation. God never take a nap. God is, he's perfect. God is like us. He's above us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But he still humbled himself to die for me. He still loves me, even though he is who he is. Even though he's a great God Almighty, he still had mercy on a little old man like me. And he says to me, you're not going to have to without. Am I telling you that you're going to live all prosperous from now on? And am I preaching you some kind of prosperity gospel? No, no, no. But I'm telling you, God doesn't fail to take care of his own. I'm going to tell you something. Like I said, I can't keep myself, but you know what? I'll tell you this. He'll keep me, and not only that, he'll keep me in something that I so desperately need, and that's power. And I've been preaching on that on Wednesday nights. I've been talking about it on Sunday nights. The power of God. We need that power so desperately. And the sad thing is, most of us never even experienced it, and we don't even know what it is. No, if we get our minds wrapped around it, if we could start crying out for it, if we just have a taste of the power of God in our life, and it's not us having power to do what we want to, it's having power to please him and do what he wants us to do. If we could begin to give him the glory that he's due, if we could begin to show forth greatness through our life, through him doing it, not us doing it, we'd find ourselves so enraptured in that very thought that we dedicate ourselves to it. I won't want for the power to please him because he provides it. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Do you hear that? Grace, unmerited favor. That's what it means. God is able to make it abound. That means there's an abundance, abundant supply toward you that ye always, I love those words. Amen. Those words are endless. Be always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. What is God saying? God's able to give you power to do everything he's asked you to do. God would never ask you to do something he would not provide power, supply for. I shall not want. God has made available to me his own power so I am able not only to be kept by him, but be empowered by him. I said, I love shepherd, not only because he died for me, but because he takes care of my wants. And he takes care of my needs. Amen. Number three, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I can tell you a fact about a sheep. A sheep won't lie down when it's hungry. Won't lay down when it's hungry. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Only lie down when their bellies are full. What does the Bible say? John 6:35, listen. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What is he saying? I will supply his needs. I will satisfy his soul. That's why this world is running around trying everything to try to fill some vacuum in their life, trying to find that missing peace. And they try everything. They try alcohol. They try drugs. They try sex. They try witchcraft. They try everything they can get their hands on to try to satisfy emptiness that only God can fill. And they look at those who found it. Something wrong with you. No, nothing's wrong with me. Something right in me when God did something to me. And you can't understand it because you had never been there. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. David said in Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now am old. Have I not seen the righteous forsaken? God never turned his back on his own. Nor seed begging bread. God has never let his own be without. He's never left his own unsatisfied. Amen? I've known a lot of Christians in my life, and those who were faithful to God, those who loved and served God, I've never met one that said, boy, God sure doesn't take care of me. Never, and you hadn't either. Because God always satisfies his people. I love him. Why? Because he satisfies me. Number four, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Another fact about sheep. Sheep are frightened by turbulent water. They won't drink from turbulent water. They also won't drink stagnant water. Sheep are very particular animals. John 4:14 says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He is the water of life. Amen? He's the source. He's the spring. He's the water that brings peace into our life. He leadeth me beside the still water. There's no turbulence. He's the Prince of Peace. Not only does he bring that peace, but it also refreshes us. Amen. When the Word of God has been lacking under water and with water. Amen. And you get to the Word of God every day. And Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Son was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Out of him was not anything made that was made. Verse 13, we held his glory, even as the only begotten of the Father. He is the water. He is the Word. And it refreshes the Christian. Amen. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. And let him refresh you. Amen. I love the shepherd. He makes sure I'm refreshed. Man, listen, that's what a shepherd is. He's one who cares for his sheep. Amen. He cares for you. I want you, if you don't get anything else this morning, get that through your head. He cares for you. You don't understand what I'm going through this morning. I'm having a hard time going through some tough things. Yes, I know. We all are. But he cares for you. Number five, he restoreth my soul. Restoreth my soul. He puts things back like they ought to be. You know what he knows about me? He knows I'm prone to wander. That's what sheep do. Amen. There's lots of instances and times in the Bible talking about a sheep going astray, seeking for that sheep. Amen. That's because they're wanderers, just as we are. And when they get off away from the shepherd, they're unable to find their way back. And that's why he has to go and seek for them. Man, there's an old story about the shepherd, like a sheep that has wandered over and over and over and over again. And take that lamb, and it seems cruel what he would do, but he takes that lamb and he takes its legs and he breaks it across its knee. And then he takes a little lamb and he lays it over his shoulders, carries it because it can't walk. And he feeds the lamb out of his hand. And he lets that lamb drink from his little bowl he drinks from. In time, that lamb's leg heals. But when the lamb's leg heals, he sets that lamb down. The lamb doesn't want to wander off anymore. That lamb wants to stay right beside the shepherd. He restoreth soul. Psalm 119, 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep, David said. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. God may allow his children to fall into sin. He doesn't. We're not robots. He doesn't force. But I can tell you this, he may let us fall into him, but he won't let lie still in it. He won't let it waller in it forever. He goes seeking lost sheep. He seeks and he finds us and he shows us, reveals to us our sin so that we may ask him for forgiveness and be restored to the closeness of his fold. He restoreth my soul. I love shepherd because no matter how many times I've stumbled and felt like the song I sang a little while ago, amen, for every time I fell, each time I've stumbled and sin prevailed, he picked me up and put me back on solid ground. Amen. No matter how many times I wander, he always seeks me and brings me back home. Amen. Hey, that's because he's our good shepherd. Amen. Number six. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads and we must follow. It's not us to lead and get him to rubber stamp our way. Understand that. That's so many people go wrong trying to live a Christian life. They try to get God to rubber stamp their will. And we're not supposed to do whatever we want. Hey, I'm saved now. I'll do whatever I want to do. I'm saved. I got it all fixed now. Hey, Jesus, I got it all settled. Jesus got me saved. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. I'm saved. I wouldn't give you a nickel for that kind of Christianity. I wouldn't give you a nickel for that phony, baloney stuff. Amen? He's shepherd. He leads. Hey, I can tell you right now, there's never been a sheep anywhere on any plot of land that led the shepherd around. Amen. Nor a cow that led the cowboy. I can promise you, it's not the livestock job to lead. Where is he? He's our shepherd. He's to lead. He leadeth me, David said, in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us away from danger. That's what his word warns us. Amen. Everybody ought to get in Proverbs, ought to read Proverbs every day. Full of wisdom to lead you out of danger. Read the word of God. Let it teach, let it lead you. Let it guide you. Keeps us from false ways, false doctrines, false teaching. Why does he do it? Because we're his, that's why. For his name's sake. What does that mean? It means we're named after him. Jared's name is Jared Wimond. He's named after my dad. He's my dad's namesake. Jackson's name is Jackson Edward. Edward, my daddy's name, and also my grandfather's name. He's their namesake. You know what they call us? They call us Christians. We're named, called after Christ. We're his namesake. He leadeth us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For that testimony, we're his. We're to give him glory. Amen? We're to give him glory. I love shepherd because he leads me. And he protects me. Number 7. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. That's kind of the part that nobody wants to think about. Amen? Hey, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So you walking with Jesus through there? Yeah. Jesus don't leave you when you get out of the shadow of death. So when I thought you was a Nazarite, and they go through the valley of the shadow of death. Who said being a Christian was all roses and rose petals was lying? Who said once you got to Christian that you didn't have trouble, that is lying to you? Who said you weren't going to be having no hardships anymore, that is lying to you? Who said you weren't going to have any trials? Jesus says, in this world you shall have tribulation. The Bible says, yet all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Those things are in the Word of God. Christians are going to go through it. Troubles, trials, persecution, tribulation. We're going to go through all kinds of hell on earth. Are we going to have to go through the great tribulation? No. But we're going to face tribulation here. I don't know. You know what I said? I've said this several times here lately. I've had these discussions with other preachers. And I don't know if America is still going to be here when the Lord returns. We're crumbling right now so fast, the country. I mean, economically, morally, in so many ways, crumbling right now. I mean, the sodomites are taking over. All the perverted, weirdo, wacko are taking over. Our government's so corrupt, so crooked. Our politicians so crooked that they'll have to screw them into the ground. They die. They're so crooked. But I can tell you this, you're gonna have to go through some hardships as a Christian. Through the valley of shadow of death. But you know what? Thank God I'm not gone. I've got a Savior right there with me, leading me, guiding me through the valley. Through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death may be over me. It may cast a shadow over me. Try to fright me. Try to make me fear and try to run and hide myself. But God says, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. I've told this story a lot of times, but I'll tell it again. I told it the other night on the podcast. Years and years ago, Dr. John R. Rice, who wrote many of those pamphlets out there in the hallway, he died back in 1980. But back in the 50s, he did a radio show over at WBAP in Fort Worth. And he and his wife were downtown somewhere having dinner, and they came out on the sidewalk, and they were walking with their automobile, and out of the dark and black night, a man came out of the darkness with a gun, and he stuck his gun in John Rice's stomach, and he says, give your money, old man, I'm going to kill you. And John Rice looked at him and laughed and said, you can't threaten me with heaven, son. The man was so moved by what he said to him, the ride was over. I don't know exactly what happened at that point, but I know he didn't get robbed, and I know no harm came to him. You see, you can't threaten me with heaven. So what's going to happen in America? I mean, they could kill us. I'm going to heaven. I mean, that's the worst thing can happen to me. Amen? That's the worst thing happening. I mean, if you read the story of the martyrs of old, as they were burned at the stake, and the wood piled around them, and the only reason they were burned is because they would not deny Jesus Christ as their Savior. They would not deny Him. They would not fall down and worship. They would not worship man. They would not worship the stake. They would not worship the false gods of Rome. I mean, they wouldn't worship some reason that was opposed to the Bible. They would not do it according to man. They wanted to follow God and God alone, and they were called heretics. They wouldn't bound to the Roman Catholic Church. And they were bound up and tied to stakes. They were sometimes coated in gunpowder. They were sometimes coated in sulfur. They were sometimes covered in oil. They had all that stuff piled around them. And they stood there in the midst and continued to preach Jesus, and they lit the flames. And continued, the flames lit their body to praise Jesus. them, don't weep for me. And there's a signal that they often give. They would raise their hands as the flame devouring them to let those others go in the crowd. That what they were going through was not only was it not agonizing, it was terrible. Why? Because they had the power of God resting on them as they died in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I would know evil, for thou with me. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 20 and 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Our outlook from a Christian standpoint ought to be whether we face death before Jesus comes or we're alive when he comes. It should be victory either way. As the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:55, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Let me tell you something, Christian. A Christian can only die once. Amen? A Christian will only die once, but will live twice. One who dies without Christ will die not only once, but twice. Saddest thing I ever heard is that this is the only heaven a lost man will know is earth. And this is the only hell a saved man will ever know. I love the shepherd because he allowed death to be the end of me. Number 8, Bible says, but thou art with me. Very briefly, the Bible says, Hebrews 13:5, he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And never means never. I love shepherd because he's always there. He doesn't leave. Amen. You can't count on anybody in this world, but you can count on Jesus. Number 9, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Very quickly, I'm trying to move fast. I know y'all want to get out of here, but let me tell you something. The rod is for defense. He's the shepherd. He's protecting his sheep. He has that rod for defense, that big, firm stick. And he uses that to attack anything that would come against the sheep. David talked about having pulled a lamb out. He got one out of a lion, out of the paw of a bear. He talked in place about he wrestled with a wild animal, and all he had left at the end of the battle was two eggs and a piece of an ear, but he didn't go up on the lamb. Well, God's so much better than David, amen? He hasn't lost a battle yet. The rod is for defense. Why do we need that defense? I'll tell you why. 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about in whom he may devour. He's out to devour, to break down, to drink up, to swallow up, to totally destroy. The rod's for protection. The staff is for correction. The shepherd's crook to reap and grab the sheep with. Hebrews 12:6-7, whom the Lord loveth, chasteneth. That means he whips. Amen. You ever whipped by the Lord? I have. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you right now, any parent that loves their child, I don't care what child protective services say, or any sociologist, or any psychologist, or any Dr. Spock or human services say, hey, if a child needs it, whip their hide. I'd need every whipping I ever got in my life. And I should have got more, Alice. And you needed them, amen. I know you did. Hallelujah. Probably need a few more, but that's beside the point. But I'm here to tell you, hey, God is a better parent than I've ever been. And when his children wander, God knows how to reach and get a hold of us. As my daddy used to say, I'd jerk a knot in you, boy. Amen. God knows how to jerk a knot in me. God knows how to grab my heartstrings. God knows how to show me how wrong I am. God, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, there's times when I do something stupid, I don't listen to what God leads me to do, and I want to tell you the bottom falls out, trouble hits, and all of a sudden, as if God whispers to my soul and says, that is because you won't listen. God allows trouble to come. He corrects. I love the shepherd. Why? Because he protects me. And he corrects me. He's good to me. He loves me like a father should. Number 10. You say, how much we got to go? We're almost done. Just hold with me. I like this one. God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, the world hates Christians. Not we're hated. We're despised. We're mocked. We're looked at by our own government as suspicious and possibly domestic terrorists because we believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading on that yesterday. It was a handbook that was given out to law enforcement agencies around the country, and it said that conservatives, religious people, are possible potential terrorists, people that want this country to be back right again. It wasn't talking about people who are armed to the teeth, living in bunkers. It was just simply talking about people that believe this book right here, believe that the sin is wrong, believe in that our country ought to get back to doing things the right way. Prepares the table before me in the midst, in the presence of mine enemies. The world may be against me. The world may want to ruin me. That, you know what? The Lord will take care of me. The Lord will bless me right in front of them. Amen? I think about the children of Israel. Children of Israel, they were trying to get out of Egypt. The Lord had told Moses to go down there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And not only did they let them go, they also spoiled the Egyptians on their way out. And there they were at the edge of the Red Sea, and the armies of Egypt bearing down on them. And God parted waters and made them stand up like walls. And they walked through dry land, the Bible says. And then the army of Egypt were swallowed up, and they chased in by the Red Sea. I've heard somebody mock that. I was out knocking doors one day over here, right along the railroad tracks at Cross Bonham Street. I was up on Graham Street. This guy was walking down the road, an older man. He was carrying a pail. And I stopped him and started talking to him, started sharing the gospel with him. He said, you Christians are so foolish. He said, you don't realize that wasn't the Red Sea at all. It was the Reed Sea. It's ankle deep water. At the time, you know, didn't give a lot of thought to it. I read something about that very thing, that had happened before at some school where someone also mocked that and said that it was the Reed Sea and it was ankle deep water, and that's how they crossed. And the story goes that there was a young man in the back of the road who jumps up and starts shouting, praise God. The teacher was obviously a non-believer and an atheist. He said, what do you have to get excited about? He said, I just told you that God didn't part no Red Sea or the Reed Sea. It was ankle deep. He said, praise God. God drowned armies of Egypt in ankle deep water. Amen. Hallelujah. God's good in the presence of my enemies. You know, God wants you to have his joy. He wants you to know that he loves you even when everybody else is against you. He wants to show this world how much he loves his own. I love him because of his desire to bless and take care of me. Number 11, we're almost done. I anoint his head with oil. my cup runneth over. That anointing with oil is symbolic. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not enough for us to just be happy in this life. It's not enough for us to just be right with God in life. Our lives should be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, that we are affecting every single person around us for Christ's sake. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's this outflowing of the Holy Spirit of God that enables a Christian to win souls, do other things that bring honor and glory to the Lord, not to themselves. He gives me the availability of the Holy Spirit's power. Number 12, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Lamentations 3:22-23, the Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. God doesn't get up and hold, God doesn't get up and say, well, you know, you were right yesterday, so I'm not going to be good to you today. Not the way God operates. God's not like a man. God doesn't hold grudges. Amen. God's going to deal with you. But God's mercies are new every morning. The Bible says, great is thy faithfulness. Just because you aren't worth a lick doesn't mean God's the same way. Just because I'm not worth a lick don't mean God's not the same way. Or God's the same way. God's not like us. Amen. God never takes a day off. God never sleeps. God never has a bad day. I love the shepherd because he never failed me. And here's the one you're all looking for. Here's number 13, the last one. Amen. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John 14:1-3, listen to what it says. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. See, I love the shepherd because he's coming to you. Amen. I hate to think I didn't have hope in this old world. I don't hope in the world. I have a hope in this world. And my hope is in Jesus. My hope is in the shepherd. And somebody might say, well, what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? What if it was just a good thought for you to have during life? Well, you know what? I know I'm not wrong because the Bible's not wrong. But if I was wrong, I'd still rather serve Jesus. I'd still rather love him. I'd still rather know the peace that I have in my heart and my life. I'd still rather have blessings that I have that are real. I'd still rather have the comfort that I have that's real. I'd still rather have all those things. In the end, there'd be nothing but blackness than to have never known it at all. But it is real. It is real. Love the shepherd because he's coming for his sheep. John 10:1-5, I'm closing after this. Verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. My question to you this morning, do you know the shepherd's voice? Jesus is that shepherd. Do you know his voice? There's lots of people who claim religion. There's lots of people who claim to have had some kind of an experience. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know his voice, if you've never come to know him, you'll never have peace. You'll never know that blessedness. Christ has offered it, but you have to accept it. Stand together. Let's go to a little prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Father, for this time we've had in your house. Father, I'm thankful that you're so good to us. Lord, even though we don't deserve it, you're still good to us, Father. And I'm thankful, Father, you'd save anyone among us that would come to you for salvation. Father, I'm thankful this morning, Lord, for these dear folks who have sat and listened to the Word of God preached. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd have your will your way. Lord, I pray, Father, that during this invitation time, Lord, that you would deal with us and work on us, Lord, according to your mercy and according to your grace, Lord, that you would show us exactly what's lacking in our life, Father, that we would come to you for it. Lord, whether it be coming to you for salvation through the blood of Jesus, repenting of sin, and turning to you, asking you in faith to save our souls, or whether it be coming this morning, Lord, in repentance of a wayward life, Father, turning, Lord, back to you from having wandered, Father, or if it be coming needing something from you, Father, whatever it may be, Lord, that we'd come honestly, we'd come boldly, and we'd come and put ourselves on the altar and ask you for the things that we need. Bless us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.